presence with us this morning. We know you're with us always, but thank you for just a tangible sense of your Spirit with us and at work among us. I just praise you for that. Jesus, we ask that you would just anoint the teaching of your word, that you would open our hearts to be able to receive what you would want to say to us. And we just trust you for that. Thank you for speaking to us and transforming us on the inside that results in actual radical life change. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at Mark chapter 2. We're continuing this series, Hero, God to the Rescue. This is the third part, and we're really going to focus in on one story. I disciplined myself to focus in on one story to talk about healing. The God who heals. All these different ways that God is a hero to us. He does things we can't do for ourselves, and he is a God who heals. He's revealed himself to be a God who heals. Not quite at the same level as when he says he is love. He doesn't say, I am healing. He says, I am love. And God's never, ever going to do anything that isn't loving. But he does reveal himself, says, in my love, as who I am, as this God is love, I am a God who heals. And I just want to remind us, before we get into Mark 2, the context of this series of who is this Jesus, the ultimate hero. What did he say about himself, and what does the New Testament say about him? Luke 4, 18 and 19, as well as verse 21. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, saying this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And everyone would have been used to hearing that until he sat down and every eye is fixed on him. And he says to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And Jesus is saying, all that you've heard about this, that there's coming this, there's this prophetic coming of one who the Spirit is going to rest on. It's me. It's pointing to me. I'm the hero you've been looking for. Then in Luke 19:10, declares that Jesus came to do what? To seek and save the lost. He came to, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil. And Romans 14:17 tells us he came to usher in this kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this is what this hero comes to do. And we're going to look at one way that he does this today through healing. So Mark chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It's the extra super version. It says this, "And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he arose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I love this story. And we're going to focus in here. Look back at verse 2. We're going to focus in on a few areas, a few ways that God heals us. And when we talk about healing, we can immediately jump to physical healing. We're talking about, oh, the God who heals. Well, we must be talking about broken arms. We must be talking about diseases. We must be talking about whatever, trick knees. And, you know, this is what we're going to jump to. But that's not where Jesus starts. In verse 2, he says this. Well, he's not saying. Mark says this about him. "Many were gathered together, so there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them." He's preaching the word to them. When Jesus comes to bring healing and to bring wholeness to your life, there's a priority. And the priority is he wants to come in and actually transform us. And so one of the first areas Jesus will address a lot of times is our minds. He wants to bring healing to our minds. And how does he do this? His word. He brings the word to you. He reminds you of what he's said. He reminds you of who he is. He reminds you of what he does through his word. And I love that you have the word of God sitting down and preaching the word of God to the people. That's so cool. Clem Ferris talked about that this week at the Shepherd's Conference that I was at. It's like, how cool is that to have the word of God teaching you the word of God? Well, we have that. We have that accessible to us every day through his spirit. Jesus promised, "I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you the paraclete. I'm leaving you the twin. I'm leaving you the exact representation of me in the form of my spirit." And so when you sit down to read the word, you don't do it by yourself. You actually have the word of God in you to instruct you and to teach you the word of God. Very cool. So lest you think, oh, well, that's really cool that Jesus sat down and could talk to them and explain the word and preach the word to them. He's still doing that for you and me today. And I'll just tell you, in all transparency, this week was really busy for me and I had to travel to Montana. Really didn't want to go to Montana because we were just there last week. I was like, I need to be in Spokane. There's so much to do. I don't have time to do this. I need to be here. And I'm going to the Shepherd's Conference where I'm badly feeling the need to be right here in Spokane shepherding. Like, how, God, why are you doing this to me this week? Well, it was excellent. It was excellent. And it was really busy. And I was thinking, how I have to get ready to teach on Sunday morning and hopefully not just teach some words, but impart. Like, God, what are you wanting to do in our hearts? So what I did is I went back to my own journaling. I went back to my own notes of, God, what have you already spoken to me? Because I'm scheduled to be talking about you as a healer. What do you want to say about this? I went back to my own notes and reminded myself of what he'd already instructed me personally on. And that's what I'm bringing to you today. Becca saw me sitting at the table with my journals out. Like looking back, I figured if God's going to speak to me and I'm going to write it down, maybe it would be worthwhile to pull it back out. So that's what we're doing today. So he preaches the word to us, and he brings, like he did in me, preached the word to me in my own heart. It made it down into my journal. And this now is coming out in my life and to you. Acts 14:3 says this about this same thing of Jesus wanting to heal our minds. Acts 14:3. "So they remained a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to what? The word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." So the apostles are going out after Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's promised the Spirit. Spirit has been poured out on them. These people are full of the Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. They're just full to overflowing. Kind of what we were talking about in our worship time and as we're praying for the kids and just this fullness of God. And signs and wonders are being done, but why? To bear witness to the word of his grace. Because the real thing that Jesus wants to do is get his word into our hearts, transforms us. He wants relationship with him that starts with somebody who says, I don't even believe there is a God. Somehow, something has to transform inside of them. He wants them to get this word of his grace. And he'll use healing to do it. He'll use physical healing to do that. John 8:32 says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We talked about that last week with the Gadarene demoniac, this guy who's got demons, and he's messed up. He is mentally very, very ill. And Jesus comes in, he heals the guy by casting out demons, and the town comes and they say, this guy is here. What they see is he's clothed, which is great, and he's in his right mind. Also great. The last thing every town needs is a crazy naked man running around, breaking chains, and screaming and howling and cutting himself. Hey, kids, let's go for a walk. Hey, kids, how about we don't go for a walk? Let's stay home. Dad, I want to go see the crazy naked guy. What happens to that crazy naked guy? He's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Jesus wants to heal our minds, so he preaches his word. He declares his word. Why? So that we may know him, and we may know his ways. God wants this for you. For you, he wants it for each of us, that we may continually be getting to know him and his ways. So he's going to be continually speaking to you through his word. He's going to be continually teaching you through his word. Pretty good. I like that. Secondly, Jesus heals our bodies. We look toward the end of this story. I'm going to read this again, verses 9 through 12. Jesus says this, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to do the first one, he says to this guy, the second one, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. That's pretty cool. So he went out before them all. So he went out, all these people that were even outside the door, they couldn't even get in the door of this house. This guy picks up his bed and walks out. Everybody would have watched as the guy's four friends brought him in, or brought him up onto the roof, dug a hole in the roof, which is, I mean, this is a big deal. You're at somebody else's house, you go to their house, you dig a hole in the roof, and then you let the guy down. That's a big hole. They're letting him down on his bed. Big hole in the roof. And he picks up his bed and walks out. Ta-da! And his body, that didn't work, he was paralyzed, he was not able to walk. Jesus supernaturally healed him, healed his legs. It does not tell us, is it knee problems? Is it joint problems? Is it, what is it? Why is he paralyzed? We don't know. But what we do know is Jesus healed it. Jesus set him free. Why does Jesus do this? Think about it. Why does Jesus heal our bodies? And just throw some thoughts at me. For his glory. Yes, ultimately that's going to be the answer. For his glory. Yeah. We need our bodies. Increase our faith. Other thoughts? Why did Jesus even come to the world? I mean, all these great things that he does. Why did he even come? To seek and save the lost. Why? Ah! Because he loves us. All of these answers are true. But I want to start right there. Jesus comes and he does great things in your life, not only so that you can go do great things for him. He does great things because he loves you. Why does God love you? Because he loves you. He doesn't love you because you can do great things for him. He doesn't love you because you can bring him glory. He doesn't love you because of all these things. He loves you because he loves you, because God is love. And because God is love, he invades this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. John 3:16. It's because he loves you. Now, does God heal all the time? No. Why? Because he loves you. And he's always doing a good work in our hearts, even when we don't see it. When he says, when he healed this guy, he did it on purpose. Jesus almost always would do things. When we have a specific story of healing in the Bible, it's instructive. God's making a point. Jesus is teaching as he heals. And he says to these guys, so that you may know the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. So you may know this, I'm going to do this. Because he's like, what? He could look at all these religious people, these scribes and Pharisees, and say, they could have easily said, what's easier? What's easier? If Jesus asks them, what's easier to do? To say, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up and walk, paralyzed man? The scribes, the Pharisees, what are they going to say? Way easier to say, your sins are forgiven. I mean, come on, talk is cheap, heretic. What's easier to do? Yeah, your sins are forgiven. Right. He says, but so you may know I actually have authority to do this, get up, take your bed, and go home. Boom. Something happens. We don't get the story of what happened in this guy's legs, but he's healed. And he gets up, he grabs his bed, and he walks out in front of them all, and he goes home. So that Jesus could instruct them. But also, I'm going to bring some other scripture into this. Mark 1:41 says this. Says it's because he has compassion. Compassion is an interesting kind of love. It's this relating. He relates to your pain. He relates to, he sees someone hurting, and he can't just turn away and look somewhere else and walk by. Like I can do sometimes with people with cardboard signs on the street, and I can just look the other way, or maybe give them a glance. Hey, not just completely ignore them. But, hi, and then I'm not going to give you change so you can get drunk. And that's my own stuff. That's not really compassion. Compassion says, I see you having difficulty, and I can't not do anything about it. I have to engage with this. Jesus heals compassionately. And what it was with Mark 1:41 was a man who had leprosy. This man was, his skin was, he had serious skin condition. You talk about dry, itchy skin. He's a leprous man. And the guy says to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I love this. One of my favorite scriptures, and Jesus having compassion on this guy, Jesus says, I'm willing. Sweet. We never, ever see a spot in scripture where Jesus says, I am not willing. Remain with your sickness, pathetic person. You never see that. And I love that we never see that. Jesus says, I am willing. He has the power and the willingness to deal with both our visible and our invisible issues. Cool. Now, if we look back at Acts 14:3, they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Healing speaks to the truth of his word. Not only, and you look back in Old Testament when we, Jesus is revealing himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I am the God who heals you. I'll heal all your diseases. You know, Psalm, was it Psalm 100? I'm trying to remember which psalm it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases. It says he brings you out from the pit. I mean, these things are prophetic. This is this God who heals us. Jesus comes, boom, he heals to bear witness to the truth of his word. He's that he's not a liar. He really does do these things. Now, for me, I keep coming back to this. We can't do it for long because we don't want to dwell on our past. But that night, a couple Fridays ago, when we're praying, we prayed for Jared's knee, and all of a sudden it started to work. What wasn't working started to work. It's a faith builder. It stirs our faith. It builds our faith. It encourages us. When we see God's power as real, present, available, and tangible, it's easier to understand and lay hold of something spiritual. When we see God really being God Emmanuel, God with us, it's easier to go, okay, when I don't sense you with me, I know you're with me. And I can look back on these times when, whoa, I saw you move. I know you moved. I know you spoke to me. I know you healed me. I know. Like, think back to when you first were baptized in the Spirit. And you can look back on that. And hopefully it's not just a looking back, but it's a engagement all the time. But you look to this, and I can stop, literally just hang out with Jesus. You go, oh yeah, you're Emmanuel, God with me now. It's easier to hold on to those things when you have those tangible experiences of God. Physical healing here in Mark 2 produces faith in the people to trust God for salvation and forgiveness of sins. This is what God's going for here. This is what Jesus is going for. So that you know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Really, think of who in the town, the whole town is like gathered here. Think of who was gathered there and all the issues they would have had in their own hearts. All the things that maybe everybody knew about, maybe the things nobody knew about. All these sin issues, all these needs. And they're hearing Jesus say, so that you may know that I have the power to forgive your sins. Not just the paralytic. So that you know that I have the power to deal with your stuff. I'm going to heal this guy. Boom. It stirs faith. You go, if Jesus can do that for that guy, maybe he really can deal with my stuff. Maybe he can really deal with my sin, my struggle, my issue. He does the impossible, you guys, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Sweet. This is what he does. And this is why he heals physically, because he loves us. He actually cares about us, and he wants us to know that. It's a demonstration of that. And because he wants to prove everything else he says is true as well. Thirdly, Jesus heals our hearts. He heals our hearts. This is a paralyzed man brought in. It doesn't even say it would be by his faith, but the faith of his four friends. It's these four guys. They bring this guy. Imagine, like, it's like being, you talk about being drugged to a meeting. This guy is physically manhandled. You know, he's carried to the meeting by someone else's faith. Someone else got him to Jesus. They brought him. There's no commendation anywhere for this man's faith. Yes, this should give you hope. Do you have to be man of mighty faith, woman of mighty faith? Not necessarily. Jesus doesn't look to the guy and say, wow, your faith is pathetic. Hold on, we're having a meeting. You know, he says he looks and he saw the faith of the guy's friends. And he looked to the guy and he healed him. I love that. I love that. Guys, it's not dependent on you. And God's so faithful, he's always going to put people around you. When we're part of the church, the ecclesia, this called out ones, the church of God, when we're a part of this, there's reasons God says, don't forsake the gathering together. Because when your faith sucks, God puts you with people who have some. He puts you with someone who's strong. These four friends brought this guy when he was weak. Literally, physically weak. He was beyond any ability to get himself to Jesus. And these guys brought him to Jesus. But how did he leave? Flip over to Luke 5. I want you to see this. It's the same story. Same story. Luke 5 says this. Luke 5, 25. We won't read the whole story. It's basically the same. Immediately, he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. The guy who got drugged to the meeting or carried to the meeting on someone else's faith left the meeting glorifying God. He left. Well, he just got healed, for crying out loud. I mean, that's... Whoa! Whoa! He didn't have all of the... flip on the TV evangelists and watch people get healed, you know, and send documentary crews into Africa and, hey, this guy got raised from the dead. This guy's living in first century Israel. Most of his life experience probably is his town. Especially because he really didn't have much energy to walk anywhere. Ba-dum-tsh. And he just got healed. And everybody saw it. And he leaves glorifying God. He's praising God. Verse 12 of this Mark 2 says, not just him, but everybody around. All were amazed. They were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We've never seen this. This Jesus is amazing. You see the progression? Jesus, he's teaching them about his kingdom. He's teaching them the word of God, teaching about his ways. He gives them a visible, tangible example by healing this guy. He heals a physical body. He's addressing their minds. He addresses this physical healing need. And what happens? Wow. Their hearts change. The heart of the paralytic changes. He's glorifying God. Everyone else is glorifying God. Guys, healing does bring God glory. That's what Donald said at the very beginning. Healing brings him glory. This is his ultimate purpose, to glorify his name. Hearts that get set free, naturally, or maybe supernaturally, we respond in a really uninhibited way. Think about being at a sporting event. When your team does well, a really good play, something really great happens, maybe it's your kids, and everybody starts to cheer, and it's natural. Everybody's just like, wow, this is great, and I throw my coffee when I do it. It's a natural response, this uninhibited, yeah! There's a freedom, and when there's a freedom, I have to say this right, when there's a freedom, there's a lack of inhibition. There's just like, wow, this is great. This is great. Hearts that get free, this is how we respond. Think about yourself for a minute. Better yet, think about your children. That'll be easier to do. Think about your kids when no one's around, or they don't think anyone's around. You ever see them or catch them looking in the mirror? Making faces, posing. When no one, they think no one's, you know, the lack of inhibition when it's just them, there's this freedom. Like, I've seen it with my girls. Well, I walk in, they don't even realize I'm doing it, and they're like primping, doing like, you know, princess pose or whatever pose is there. I know when I was growing up, there was no way, because I was like super skinny, like really, really skinny. You think I'm fairly skinny now, you should have seen me 60 pounds lighter than this. I was really, really skinny. So there was no way you were going to see me like strutting around. You wouldn't have caught it. Except for when I was by myself looking in the mirror. And I'm like doing all the push-ups. And I would do bench press and I would do all this stuff. And like looking in the mirror, hoping maybe, you know. Like, and you're like flexing the biceps. Like, oh, I see guys do it in the gym with everyone around. And they'll just walk, like literally, there's all these people working out. And this guy's standing there in the mirror like, ugh. Checking himself out, like, wow, that is so weird and so vain and so uninhibited. The response of someone who's very comfortable with themselves is uninhibitedness. I had to make that, figure that word out as someone. I was driving by somebody on Division. I was on Wellesley, and this gal came thumping her music in the car. There was two or three of them in the car, and they were bopping and singing and just going for it. And it's just this, hey, and I don't know what they were singing to. Their windows were up, and they're just going for it, just having fun in the car. They're uninhibited. Guys, healthy hearts respond in an uninhibited way. This guy walks out glorifying God, and everybody around, they've just seen something. Their guards go down. Everything, they've been having this, you know, you got the Pharisees there. Anytime the Pharisees are around, you have to watch what you say. You got to be careful. Oh, was that theologically accurate? How did I say that? What did I just say before I realized they were in here? Did I swear? Like, when the Pharisees are around, you got to be really careful what comes out of your mouth. But when Jesus comes around, the Spirit of Christ is around, you get set free. You get set free. And what happens? Everybody's glorifying and praising God. Last scripture I'm gonna point you to is Revelation 19, 5 through 7. When Jesus comes and he's healing our hearts, he's bringing restoration to your heart so your heart is free. This is really the best. This is the goal of everything else, is a heart that's been transformed into freedom. This is God's heart for you, because a transformed heart is going to respond to him in an uninhibited way. So Revelation 19, I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. Actually, I'll back it up to verse 4. We've got, this is a context. Oh gosh, let's just back it up and read the whole thing. It's good. Revelation 19, starting in verse 1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just." I'm skipping on down. Once more, they cried out, "Hallelujah!" The smoke from her, this is Babylon being judged. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Basically saying all of the wicked systems, the wicked schemes of the world, they're all coming down. It's all coming down. What's going to go on? God, his ways, his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Verse four, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down. They carefully knelt down. Nope. They They fell down, look at this response, and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice. This is God. From the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you who servants, all you his servants who fear him, small and great. And what's the response? Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters. I would say like the roar of Niagara Falls or the roar of Victoria Falls. Just think the most massive waterfall sound you can think of. The roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. I'll just say the righteous deeds of the saints come from people already made righteous. The only way you can have a righteous deed is to already be righteous. So God makes you righteous, and these people are thrilled about it. They're excited. The roar of praise, the roar of glorifying God, it's deafening. Mighty peals of thunder and Niagara Falls all together. Healthy hearts resound with praise. God wants to make your heart healthy. And he comes to do exactly that. He comes to heal us on the inside, from the inside out, with the paralytic, sometimes from the outside in. Physical is outside healing. Most important, inside healing. This is what he wants to do. He wants to bring glory to his name. He wants to seek and save the lost, which is going to involve healing. He wants to destroy the works of the devil. It's going to involve healing. He's going to bring in this kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. It's going to involve healing. He's got to heal you so you can be righteous. He's got to heal your sin problem. He wants you to have peace. He's got to heal you. He's got to bring healing to a mind that is anxious, to a mind that is stressing out, the mind that is worried, a mind that struggles. He's got to bring healing to that mind to bring you peace and joy. He wants you joyful. Just think about that. Think about that with you. Am I living in this confidence of the righteousness of God? That I'm righteous in him? Am I living with the confidence and with this peace that God's got me? Or do you live with, I have to make this happen? I have to. Well, actually, that's where it would be. I have to. Is it a I have to, or is it a God's got this? He wants to bring you peace. And he wants to bring you joy. Healthy hearts are joyful hearts. Hearts that need healing aren't. So that's pretty point blank. How you doing? And it's not a checklist. No, I need to do. No. We need Jesus to open our eyes. We need Jesus to come in, remind us of his goodness, remind us of his greatness, remind us of his power to heal us and to save us. So with all that being said, why not come to God for healing in any of those areas? Well, because I've done that before and it didn't work. I already said, sometimes God doesn't heal you when you want him to heal you because he loves you and he's working in your heart. He's doing a transforming work. He's bringing healing into your heart or healing into your mind, not only your body. So why not keep coming to the healer? He's already revealed himself as who he is. He's our healer. Why not increase our prayer for those we know, those we meet, to be healed physically, emotionally, mentally? Why not? It's who he is. It's what he does. And if Jesus healed, if he healed a guy's physical body so that everyone would know that the word he was speaking was true, that he had the power to save and to forgive sins, why wouldn't he keep doing that today? It's Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I think sometimes it's because we have our little holy huddles. We get together and we want to pray for each other for healing. But that demonstration of the gospel and the going out, Jesus is hanging out with the town. Jesus' healing is a sign that points to Jesus. We want to, I just think, wow, okay, God, I'm a little nervous when I think about going out to just pray for people who aren't Christians, because I'm sort of worried, like, well, God, what about your reputation? Is that my job? Jesus' reputation? No. The devil will use that as a tactic to keep us quiet, to keep us passive, to keep us tame and safe. Guys, we weren't saved to be tame and safe. We weren't called to be tame and safe. We were called to live on the edge. We're pioneer people. I mean, here we are. Pioneer people. Pioneer people have to live on the edge. And we break ground. New ground that hasn't been plowed before. We build where nothing's been built before. We go for things where no one else has gone for it before. That means going to people who they had never been to church before. They've never had anyone pray for them before. They may not even know who Jesus really is. They did a thing in Missoula where they went out on the streets and said, who is Jesus to you? And I think they had 25 people that they interviewed on the street just saying, who is Jesus to you? You know, one guy said, well, he was this teacher guy a long time ago, and what really made him stand out was his red hair. This guy has no idea who Jesus is. This is the world we live in. Who needs to have their mind healed and heart healed and sin issue healed? The red-haired Jesus-thinking guy needs that. He needs that. But who's going to do that? It's probably not going to happen in a church meeting. I'd just say, why not participate and partner with God on the Gonzaga campus or the Whitworth campus or at work, wherever work is, or at co-op, or wherever we are? I'm thinking, I've got guitar club kids coming in tomorrow night to hang out right here. And I get to tell them, yeah, this is where we hang out. This is where I play on Sunday mornings. And where's Jesus moving? Where do we usually see Jesus healing the sick? It's usually on the street, hanging out with people. It's rarely, I mean, he does it in church too. He does it in the synagogue, but it's out. And he does it in conjunction with his word, because he wants people to know the word. So I just say, why not? Why not? I want to be done with being worried about Jesus' reputation, which probably means I'm more worried about my reputation, really. If I was honest, which I think I try to be. If I was honest, I would say, it's probably more about my reputation. I don't want to go for it in faith and pray for somebody who's sick and they don't get healed, and then I look like an idiot. Well, I don't see that in the Bible anywhere where I'm commanded to overthink this and not. Don't actually do the works that I did and greater, because if it doesn't work, you might be embarrassed. I made that up. That's not in the Bible. That's not in there. God is a hero, guys. He's a hero. He comes in and he does the impossible, but he does it through us. Sometimes he breaks in supernaturally and he does it himself. And sometimes, usually, he breaks in supernaturally and does it through us. And then you get the reward for it in heaven. Sweet. He initiates. He does it. We just respond. So why not? Jesus, thank you for being a hero. Thank you for not worrying about what other people are going to think of you. Your word says you even despised the shame of the cross. You despised it. When things looked really bad and it looked like you were a failure, you were accomplishing a great work to bring healing to millions and billions of people. Thank you for being a hero that rescues us from the power of darkness. Thank you for being a healer that rescues us from sin and from sickness, from insecurities. Thank you for that, Jesus. We look to you right now as our healer. Thank you that you're the one who sets us free, most importantly in our hearts. God, you set our hearts free to worship you. Just thank you, even in that place of worship and freedom, so often people are healed as we just engage with Jesus who heals. Thank you that your word says there's gifts of healing that you pour out on your people. You've given this to us as a gift. Jesus, we want to walk in these things, both to build up the church and to build up those who are not yet the church, but are coming. God, we want to be a people of the Spirit, a people walking with your presence all week long. Thank you for healing us of our most important issue, our sin issue. Thank you for righteousness that comes through you, Jesus. Your death, your shed blood for us, your body broken for us, and then you rising from the dead to prove, again, as a sign to prove that what you said was true. You have the power to forgive sin. You have the power to bring us into everlasting life. You have the power to do this. What is a physical healing compared to that? So simple. So Jesus, we want to see it all. We want to walk in it all. Just thank you and praise you for your hand at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.